So great. That's so great. What if it was possible that today that you walked in here and there was a God that knew exactly where you were at? I mean, he tells us that he sees us. There's not a place we can go without him. That he counts the number of hairs on your head. Some of you guys make that easier than others. But that he literally knows. And there are people, I think there are people that think, well, he's too busy with world hunger to care about me. Listen, you parents get this. When your kid comes to you with a need, you don't say, hey man, there's world hunger out there. I can't give you milk. You care about that individual. And God says we're his adopted. And when you walked in here today, he knew that load you were carrying. And what if he were able to speak to you in that moment today? And maybe it'll happen in worship, or maybe it'll be happening in the courtyard. Maybe it'll happen, you know, with the inspiration you got from Therese or the message. But tell you what, why don't we just take a moment? We're going to just take a moment. We're going to take 1 minute, and we're going to pray. And I'm just going to let you pray and say, God, this is the thing I brought in. This is what I'm dealing with. Would you speak to me today? Would you be clear to me today? Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us here. Thank you that you care. I pray, God, that my friends would know that you care today. Speak directly to them. And me. I'm here too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today, we're beginning a series. It's probably not one that you would expect to hear in church. You think this way, but you wouldn't expect us to talk about this or even applaud this way of thinking. But the reality is, for most of us, in fact, I'm going to say all of us, that we have this thought. More is better. Now, you don't want to say it out loud, especially in church, that you want more, because that feels self-centered. But it is the reality of the way we live, and I think the statement is true. That more is better. Let me prove it to you in a couple of ways. Okay. How many, y'all live in a house. Would you agree with this statement? More bathrooms is better. Right? Well, anybody have trouble getting into a bathroom sometime? Look, it's just me and my wife, and we have this big, beautiful bathroom that I painted when we got there. We redid the vanities. It's got two sinks. My wife takes both sinks. And sometimes I got to go to the other bathroom. That's just reality. More bathrooms is better. How about this? Shoes. Who would agree? More shoes is better. All right, we have a couple honest people. That's funny. Mark raises his hand. He's always barefoot. Always barefoot. Somebody get this man a pair of shoes. So my daughter, we adopted a little girl from Haiti when she was 14 years old. And a year later, I was up in her room helping her clean. I said, Dad, can you help me clean out my closet? I counted the number of shoes that she collected in 1 year of living in the United States. 30. 30. I did the math. By the time she's 50, at this current rate, she will have 1,000 pairs of shoes. More shoes. It's better, right? How about a car? What is the more that you want in a car? Some people want more horsepower, right? Yeah, more fuel economy, right? What do you want? Power? Power. Heated seats. Oh, wow, that's a good thing. You know the more that my wife wants in a car? Cup holders. She is addicted to Diet Coke. Yeah, you heard it in church. My wife is a Coke addict. And we got to know how many cup holders there are. Okay, this is absolutely true if you go to an ice cream shop, right? In fact, I'm going to prove it. I sent Brent to an ice cream shop, and so I'm going to treat some people to ice cream. Who would like some ice cream today? Anybody right here? Okay. Yeah, Pam, right over here. We'll bring them right over here. We got, yeah, that's right. That's right, right here. This is Baskin-Robbins ice cream, and I sent Brent to get it, and he got vanilla. Who goes to Baskin-Robbins and gets vanilla? Brent does, okay? Brent gets it. You didn't expect a scoop of ice cream today, but you got it. Hallelujah. Well, one scoop is great. Two is better. Who wants a scoop of ice cream today? Over here. Yeah, right here. Over here, we got two scoops of chocolate chip, all right? So that's at least a little bit of an upgrade. I would have gotten like brownie batter or something, but still. Two scoops is better. You know, ice cream place, two scoops is always better. Should we do it one more time? One more time. Who wants a scoop? Right back there. Right back there. We got two scoops coming right there. And yeah, hand them both. Yeah. Oh, over there? Wait, what? What's happening? Two scoops? Yeah, two scoops right here. All right, all right. And I also have, I believe we have, sprinkles. All right. Do we have sprinkles? Right there. Is that you? Are you a sprinkles person? And two scoops? All right. Who wants that? Right over here, way in the back. More is just better, right? More is better. Who'd like more money? You know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. But I got to tell you, there are times when I think, man, God, can't I just be a little evil? Right? More square footage is better. More clothes is better. More newer cars. More video games. It's better. There's a book called Getting More by Stuart Diamond. He put it like this. That's one of those indistinctive human desires, isn't it? More. Whenever you do almost anything, don't you wonder if there's more? It doesn't have to mean more for me and less for you. It just has to be, well, more. And it doesn't necessarily mean more money. It means more of whatever you value. More money, more time, more food, more love, more travel, more responsibility, more basketball, more TV, more music. Now, what would you say if I were to tell you that that is God's goal for us? That he wants us to have more. Now, I know there are some people who grew up in church traditions where you go, yeah, I get it. God wants us to have more. More guilt, more responsibility, more rules. It's not the kind of more that we're talking about. God wants us to give us more and better. And here's the kicker. Without side effects. Because how much of the more that we're looking for has side effects and negative consequences? Look, I'm all about more money, and getting more money is great, but sometimes more money leads to more work and less people and more neglect, right? That's just the way. Sometimes more work can mean more responsibility, and yet you end up distancing yourselves from people. Sometimes, look, more ice cream is amazing, right? But if you have more ice cream, it means more pounds, more time in the gym. And if you're lactose intolerant, something else. The perfect example of this, that more isn't always better, is IHOP. There, from time to time, you show up at IHOP, and what do they give you? Unlimited pancakes. I don't know about you, man. If I have pancakes, I go into a pancake coma about an hour later. What God is looking for us is something different. Inside of us is a desire for more, but unfortunately, the more we search after doesn't always fill us up inside. It just leaves us wanting more. Now, God has a different plan for us. 1 John 3. See what great love the Father has. Did anybody see that next word? You paying attention? See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. When God gives, he does it, when he gives out his love, he lavishes his love upon us. Do you feel lavished upon? Wouldn't you, how would your life be different if you felt that you were lavished love from God? Psalm 27, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I know sometimes we go, yeah, I know, I'm going to see good but in heaven. But here's the downside. You got to die to get to that. But God says, look, I'm confident I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I believe that it can be out of the difficult that you're walking through that you'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 90, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. Oh, man, I want this. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of your hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. How would you like the favor of the Lord to rest upon you? Okay, Psalm 5. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Blessing. Surrounded like a shield in your life. Proverbs 8. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for those who find me find life to receive favor from the Lord. He wants to give you more, and it's not more rules, and it's not more judgment. And let me tell you this, okay, side note. If you're carrying around regret, let me tell you who it's not from. Because what God promises for you and for me is forgiveness, even of that thing that you think is unforgivable. Isaiah 64. No one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. He acts on our behalf. You cannot begin to understand the depths of the more God wants to give you. We will never fully grasp it. This is maybe the most famous verses that talks about that. John 10:7. This is in the last week of Jesus' life. He says this, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep haven't listened to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Some of you have Bibles that say have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I have come that you might have life to the maximum. That means you living out your fullest purpose, you living into who you are, you developing a smile like Therese. You let this Spirit of God come inside of you. And he's not trying to give you more rules. He's not trying to give you extra regulations. He's trying to help you live into the fullness. I know you know these verses. Psalm 23. Let's just work our way through them. This is what God says. The Lord is my shepherd, so he watches over us. Then he says this, I lack nothing. Now, I don't think that that necessarily means you're always going to have all the money that you need and you know, your car's transmission is always going to work. But the things that actually count, you will not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Wouldn't you like to have this God that quiets your waters? He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Anybody need direction? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know that I always have that kind of fearlessness, but I long for it. But then when it's dark, I mean, that's what faith is, right? Like if all you have is happiness when everything's going your way, that's not faith, because you have what you want. But God says, look, if you are mine and you have faith in me, even when it's dark, I'll be with you. I'll put my arm around you. We just heard today, we're sitting around here at prayer, that there's a woman who's battling cancer, somebody's mom at the church, and she's decided she's not going to do chemo. It is possible that she could feel the comfort of God walking through that difficult season. I fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You need comfort? You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's weird, isn't it? Table, like you're eating and all your enemies are around. Look, even if you have enemies, God still can lavish on you and love you and take care of you. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not only will he follow you here, but when it's done, he'll be with you. He'll open up the gates of eternity. That's the whole reason why we exist. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, if you don't believe that Jesus did that, our faith is worthless. But if you do believe it, all you need is a relationship with him. And this isn't the end. This is the hardest part right now. We'll spend eternity with Jesus. Now, it seems to me that all of this comes down to who you look to for your more. Right? What are we looking for? Are we looking for our money, our children, or our work, or our entertainment, or cup holders? Who are you looking to? Jesus gives us two options to find your more, right? You can either trust the shepherd or put your life in charge of the thief. Now, let me break that down a little bit, because some of the things that we trust for our more are actually stealing from us, not giving to us. And money is one of those things. You drive for more, but money, you never get enough. The Bible says he who loves money never has money enough. And so you never get to that place of peace. You never get to that place of contentment because you always need more. Is it possible that you're looking to work for more? Work more. And this, look, the Bible says that a good, strong work ethic is good. But if that's the source of your more, it'll never be enough. You'll never rise high enough. And then when you retire, you'll feel like you're worthless, like you're wandering, because your more was based on your work. What Jesus offers us is life to the full. Blessed in ways that don't lead to debt. Lavish in ways that don't make you fat. Full in ways that don't take you away from your family. And it comes down to this: can I trust the shepherd with my life? Can I believe in him to make decisions that are in my best interest? And look, if you're not there yet, then don't do it. Well, don't do it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to put God in charge of your life. But my fear for you is you're going to keep looking for more and more and more in ways that just never satisfy. Work more, money more, sex more, relationship more, children more, family more. I'm not saying those things are bad necessarily. Jesus just says, I want you to look to me first for your more. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Favor in this life. Let the light of your face shine upon us, O God. Who doesn't want that? Right? And the greatest thing is, it doesn't end. It never ends. It gets way better. You never say this at a funeral, but there are times when people die early, okay? You know what that is? Early graduation. For those people that know Jesus, that's early retirement. And I can only say it here. You can't say it there. And we are sad, for sure, when we lose people like that. We are sad. But this is real. And he's reserved eternity. That's why he came to earth. That's why he died on a cross. That's why he was resurrected. So I want to end with this. I'm ending early. Wow, it's because Brent went so long. I want you to think about this. We're just going to give you a second to think about this. What is it that you look to for your more? And it could be more work. It could be more money. It could be more education. It could be if I only get into that college or if I only have enough friends. Or what do you look to for your more? Where is that? Now let me ask you this. What is it that you need to trust God with for your more? Okay? In what area? I want to get real specific with you today. I don't know if you've ever done this, but that I have an app. Actually, it's a website as well called Bible Gateway. And the way I use Bible Gateway is if I want to know about something, then I'll put that word in. So like I gave a message on joy. I read every verse in the Bible on joy. And some of them are, you know, they don't, it doesn't matter. They don't connect. But there are so many verses that gave me a new understanding of joy. What is the area you want more of? If you want, you can pull your phone out and you can put in Bible Gateway or you can look up the app. You can do it now. I don't care. What is it? Is it peace? If it's peace, look up every verse this week on peace and read them 3 or 4 at a time. You don't have to read all of them. If it's patience, maybe you need more patience. Look it up. I've always heard somebody say, you know, don't pray for patience because God will give you things to test your patience. Really? Do you need extra things to test your patience? I have them already. What I need is the ability to deal with them. Like praying for patience isn't God saying, okay, now, you know, I'm gonna whoop you up with impatient things. No. You're just gonna learn through that. Is it hope that you need? What is it? Think about that for a second. What's your word? Do you carry too much worry? You like God's peace in that? Maybe you put in worry. Maybe that's your word this week. Listen, wouldn't you love to believe in a God that wants more for you? We have no idea how much he wants to lavish on us and live in the fullness. There's a coach who coached the Phoenix Suns for a while, and then he coached the Detroit Pistons, and he did terrible. So I don't know if you want to listen to him, but he said, everything good is on the other side of hard. So just because you're going through something hard doesn't mean that there's not good in it, or that God's not going to lavish through that, because he can grow you through that. But wouldn't you love to believe in a God that lavished on you? So tell you what, why don't you bow your head? Let's do a little work. What's the word that you want to grow in, that you want to feel lavished on, that you want more of in your life? What is that word? Just think about that for a second. Okay, another question. How is it that God's asking you to give up control in this one area? Okay, lastly, maybe this is the first time you've heard that there's a God that wants more for you. If that's the case, and you want to know him, and a God that loves you, wants to lavish on you, give you more, and he reserves a place in eternity for you, it begins like this. Just pray this in the quietness of your heart. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I had never done. I give my life to you today. Our more has everything to do with who you put in control. today, maybe today is the day you give up control and you let God start pulling the strings, driving the car. If that's you, we've got a little card that says, I said yes. It's in front of you. It's in the back. Just fill it out, put it in the box in the back that says, I said yes, or talk to one of the staff. We want to help you on that journey. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you know us, that you love us, that you want us to thrive, and you want us to have more. In your name we pray. Amen.